Chapter 12. Goodbye. I couldn't go back to the car yet. We kissed, but then I went running after Conrad. How could I look at Jeremiah after what just happened? My mind was moving in a million different directions. So I walked around the college, but after a while, I went to the car. I couldn't just leave without telling anybody, and I didn't have another way to get home. I guessed that Conrad was thinking the same thing, because when I got back, he was already there in the back seat. Jeremiah was standing next to the car.
"Hi," he said.
"Hi," I said nervously. I didn't know what he was thinking. He walked toward me.
"Are you ready to go home?" he asked.
I nodded, and he threw me the keys. In the car, none of us spoke. 2 days ago, I went to Cousins to help Jeremiah, but now everything was worse. Just when we thought that everything was okay, we broke it. We drove for hours, and it started to rain heavily.
"Can you see?" Jeremiah asked me.
"Yeah," I lied. I couldn't see 2 feet in front of me. The traffic was moving really slowly, and then it stopped. There were police lights ahead.
"I think that there's been an accident," Jeremiah said.
We didn't move for over an hour, and the rain was getting worse. "What should we do?" I asked.
"There's a hotel a few miles away," Jeremiah said.
"Let's just wait for the traffic to start moving," Conrad said.
"It'll be hours before that happens. Let's sleep for a few hours and leave in the morning."
Conrad didn't say anything.
"Billy, what do you want to do?" Jeremiah asked.
"I don't care. Do what you want."
We got to the hotel at midnight. I went to the bathroom and called my mother. When I told her what was happening, she said, "I'm coming to get you."
Every part of me wanted to say, "Yes, please come this second." But she sounded so tired. So I said, "No, it's fine, Mom. We'll leave early in the morning."
"Just go to sleep and get up early then. Call me when you're on the road."
After the call, I stayed in the bathroom for a little while, getting ready for bed. I didn't care that the boys might need the bathroom. I just wanted some time alone. Finally, I went back into the bedroom. Jeremiah and Conrad were lying on the floor on opposite sides of the bed. I climbed onto the bed and Jeremiah turned off the lights. Nobody said goodnight. I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't. I was thinking about how everything was different now. We could never go back to the way that things were. Jeremiah started snoring. He could always go to sleep so easily. He wasn't thinking about our kiss, so I shouldn't either. I turned onto my other side, away from Jeremiah. And then I heard Conrad say quietly,
"Earlier, when I said that I never wanted you, it isn't true."
I stopped breathing. I didn't know what to say. Then he said it again.
"It isn't true. Good night, Billy."
After that, of course, I couldn't sleep. My head was too full of things to think about. "It isn't true." I closed my eyes and heard Conrad say those words again and again. Did he want to be with me? I thought that was what I wanted, but now there was also Jeremiah. When Jeremiah kissed me, he was open, wanting and needing me. And in that moment, I wanted and needed him too. So I lay there in the dark,
thinking about every word. The boys were asleep, and every part of me was awake. It was like an amazing dream, and I was afraid to go to sleep because I didn't want it to end. I woke up before the boys and took a shower. When I came out, Jeremiah was outside, speaking on the phone, and Conrad was putting on his shoes. I kept waiting, but he didn't look at me. "Hi," I said.
"Hi," he said. "My friend is coming to get me."
"Why?" I asked.
"It's easier. He'll take me back to Cousins to get my car, and Jeremiah can take you home."
"Oh," I said in surprise. We stood there, saying nothing. But it was the nothing that meant everything. There was no sign of what he said last night in his eyes, and I could feel something inside me break. So we were finally, finally over. I looked at him and thought, "I will never feel that way about you again. I'm not the girl who always comes running back to you when you push her away. I'm not the girl who loves you anyway. I take my heart back from you." I felt the pain in my stomach that only he could give me. I never wanted to feel it again. I couldn't even be mad at him, because this was who he was. Jeremiah came inside and asked Conrad, "Is Dan coming to get you?"
"Yeah, I'm going to wait here for him."
Then Jeremiah looked at me.
"What do you want to do?"
"I want to go with you," I said, picking up my bag. He took my bag from my shoulder.
"Then let's go."
To Conrad, he said,
"See you at home."
"Bye, Conrad," I said. I walked out the door and didn't look back. Soon we were driving down the road. I opened the window and my hair went everywhere, but I didn't care. I liked the way that it felt. I looked at Jeremiah and said, "You haven't said anything about yesterday." I could hear my heart beating in my ears.
"What is there to say?"
"I don't know," I said. "I can think of a lot of things."
"Billy," he started.
Then he stopped and sighed, shaking his head. "What do you want to say?"
"It's nothing," he said.
Then I reached across and took his hand, and it felt like the most right thing in the world. I worried that he might take his hand away, but he didn't. We held hands like that until we got home. A couple of years later, when I was younger and I dreamed about my future, it was always with the same boy. But it wasn't like that. It's raining heavily, and I'm in a white dress, running for the car. He's running ahead of me, opening the door.
"Are you sure?" he asks me.
"No," I say, getting inside. I don't know what will happen, but the future is still mine. Penguin Readers, It's Not Summer Without You, Jenny Hahn, Level 4, retold by Madeline Burgess, illustrated by Jae-Ting Chun, series editor, Sorrel Pitts, read by Kat Cleave. Copyright, Penguin Books Limited, 2025.